Welcome back, everyone, to Box Box Podcast, the only Formula One podcast in the world, the entire world that you need. And today we are both wearing black because we are finally laying to rest Nico Hülkenberg's podium drought. He's done it. After 200 and something races, he has finally got himself on the podium, a very, 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 very well-deserved podium, might I add. And we're just coming off the back of a crazy Silverstone race. It always seems to provide one of the best races of the season, and come 2025, it has not let us down again. So before we carry on, I would like to encourage you to check us out on social media. We are about on Instagram and TikTok primarily. You do get extra content that you don't always get when you listen to the podcast. Just search Box Box Pod and we will come up, I'm sure. We are obviously Box Box Podcast, powered by Box Box Club. They are our friends, and they also have given us a discount code to give you guys if you do want to purchase an ultra subscription from them. That is Box Box Pod 30, and that will get you a 30% discount. But the app is free. Box Box is an F1 widget app, and you can just download it for free on the Apple Store, the Apple App Store, and the Android store, the Google something. I don't use an Android. You can't blame me for not knowing exactly how that works. But yeah, that is pretty much it. I'm not going to bore you to death with anything else. We are going to dive right in because there is plenty to talk about.
All right, guys. So yeah, I mean, look, I'm going to start off with a bit of a rant. And I don't want to, because as Luke said, it was a very good race. You know, Hülkenberg picking up a podium, fantastic. Lando winning his first home race, brilliant. But I am really, like, it is starting to become really depressing being a Ferrari fan. And for those of you who have been a Ferrari fan for years, like, I feel for you. Like, I really feel for you, because, look, Lewis Hamilton, you know, his streak is now over of being in podium. I think it was, what, like 11 in a row now, 12 in a row, whichever. That's over because of Ferrari, okay? I do not understand Ferrari's strategy. Lewis Hamilton, granted, you know, they kind of matched what the McLarens were doing and, you know, the Red Bulls, and granted, whatever. Charles Leclerc, I have no idea what their strategy was. No idea. That poor guy today was in, like, I don't even know. He was nowhere, and I felt really sorry for him. And, you know, Ferrari looked good all weekend, and granted, you know, you had the rain and all of this stuff, but my God, like, some of the decisions that come out of Ferrari at the moment, well, actually, they have been doing it for years. I just do not understand, and it's frustrating me. It is frustrating me. And I know Luke's just laughing because I can just see him on the screen, but it's really depressing being a Ferrari fan.
Ferrari are not renowned for their impeccable strategy calls or their perfect decision-making. With Charles Leclerc, right, all I'll say is Charles Leclerc fans have way more reason to be pissed off this weekend than us Lewis Hamilton fans. It was a...
But do they?
A disaster to finish.
But Luke, do they have more reasons? Because Lewis Hamilton this weekend, as Lewis Hamilton fans, right, we've come on here and said Lewis Hamilton is going to win the Silverstone Grand Prix. He's going to be on the podium, right? Today, right, he couldn't even overtake a Sauber. A Ferrari could not overtake a Sauber. I'm taking nothing away from Nico Hülkenberg, but Ferrari could not even overtake a Sauber. Like, what is that even about?
It's an incredible turn of events. And it leads me on to something else, which we'll wrap up on this first. But Lewis also had a few mistakes in him. I know what you're saying here. You're saying, well, look, if Lewis Hamilton can't drive this car, you know, if he can't keep it on track in these conditions, who the hell can? Because, you know, once he came out on those slick tyres, it just wasn't... You know, he lost too much time in the lap that Hülkenberg then stayed out on the inters, and by which time, you know, Hulk came out 11 seconds clear. So, yep, I know what you're saying. It's really hard, and I know people who aren't Lewis Hamilton fans are going to sit here and be like, well, guys, you could shift some of the blame to him. And I think, you know, there are probably calls that he's made. I don't think it was entirely the team. I think, you know, could he have done more to keep it on track? I really don't know. It looked incredibly difficult. And he did come out after the race and say, look, this car is... He said it during the race. He said it was snappy. And someone said, what do you mean the car is snappy? Mm. Essentially, couldn't rely on the rear end. So when he was like bolting into these corners, he couldn't trust that the back end wasn't going to step out on him. And when you're at a track like Silverstone, which is high speed, particularly when it's wet as well, you know, that is just worst case scenario. So, yeah, I am with you. I really am with you on the fact that Ferrari need to sort it out. They have got a generational pairing. You know, they've got Charles Leclerc and Lewis Hamilton racing their cars. This is, you know, and at this point, they've only got that because of the badge. If Ferrari were any other team, and I mean this, any other team on the grid, Lewis Hamilton and Charles Leclerc would not be there. It's as simple as that. They are blessed, and don't get me wrong, they've earned their heritage, but they are blessed that they have their heritage, their status, because you do not get two drivers this good to be at a team that is so inconsistent, so consistently getting it wrong, and they haven't been anywhere near where they should be for years now. And look, you've got two men who can take you to the top. Make the most of it. You know, what we have seen is Ferrari brought an upgrade last week, and it has pushed the car forward. There's no denying that. But, and I know it's all small steps, it's marginal steps, but it is not going quick enough. And realistically, we've got to write this season off as Ferrari fans. McLaren are way too far ahead. But ultimately, we should not be in a scenario where either Charles Leclerc or Lewis Hamilton are unable to close down on Nico Hülkenberg in a Sauber. That's got nothing to do with Nico Hülkenberg. You know my thoughts on him. He is unbelievable. But in a Sauber, this should not be a competition.
No, and that's basically where my frustration is. You know, this season, yeah, I agree with you, is a write-off. Like, as Ferrari fans, as Lewis fans, we kind of know that actually, you know, this season it's going to go to McLaren. But, you know, coming into today, like, I don't know, I think this is the most frustrated I've been after a race in a long time. Like,
was angry. He was very angry in the chat, sort of like ending sentences with full stops. And it was a little bit wah-wah from him.
It is. And it's very rare I get like this. But my God, like watching... And I agree with you. You know, there's certain aspects of, you know, Lewis Hamilton made errors and I all of that stuff. And I get that. But, you know... Hülkenberg started P19. There is no way that he should have been on the podium. Do you know what I mean? Like, you got Lewis Hamilton starting P4. They pit him. He comes out. He's in P4. He comes out and he's in P8. You know, behind Ocon, Gasly. He got stuck behind all those drivers. And, you know, there was a load of things today which just didn't work. And, look, delighted for Nico Hülkenberg. I think what they've done today is phenomenal. But... yeah, as a Ferrari fan, as a Lewis fan, like, it's poor. And, you know, talking about this heritage and the legacy of Ferrari can only go so far before, you know, I suppose, okay, I'm going to use a football analogy like you like. It's like Man United, okay? People keep going about Man United are a massive team. Well, they haven't been for years. Like, they haven't won titles in years. This is exactly like Ferrari. What was the last title? 2007?
Seven, yeah.
Like, how can you keep saying this is a big team? You know, Lewis Hamilton went there because of the badge, right? This team have done nothing apart from get what P2s in the constructors. It needs to change. And like you say, you've got two drivers there who are top tier. Like, they can take you to championships. Something's got to change. Something drastically has got to change this team, because, you know, for a team of this heritage and legacy, they've got to be going for championships. They've got to be up there with the McLarens. But anyway, that's my rant over. And
well, look, there is this year 9 other teams on the grid. So as usual, we are going to run through every single team. If you're a little bit confused about why we're not talking about qualifying. Well, that's because we actually did it yesterday. And if you haven't heard that podcast, or if you're watching us on YouTube, we do an audio exclusive after qualifying that you can check out. So we talk all things Silverstone qualifying on that episode. So just, you know, you'll see it somewhere. But let's start from the top. Or should I say the bottom? Alpine. I've got an absolute confession to make here.
Okay.
I have no idea what happened to Franco Colapinto. Was it shown on TV?
No, it wasn't. So what I can understand is he got stuck in second gear.
Where?
In the pits. So he got stuck in second gear in the pits and then he stalled. So they couldn't get the car restarted. That's what my understanding is. I may be wrong.
So he didn't even start the race.
No, I think once they did after the lap after the safety car, when cars were coming in for pits, which, okay, can we talk about that quickly before we get onto the teams?
Sorry, I just had an alarm go off.
time for Luke to wake up. Why were we starting that race? And for you guys who are listening and watching, I'm sorry, this is not me having a rant. This is just me. I'm just a bit perplexed today from this race, okay? Why were we starting the race behind the safety car, the formation lap?
Yeah, important to know, we didn't start the race.
The formation behind. Lap. Formation. Why are we starting the formation lap under the safety car? That made no sense.
That was just crazy. It was so unnecessary.
And then... what I mean, this is just a stupid rule in itself because I haven't seen this in ages, is after that, you're allowed to come in and change your tyres. So on the standing start, some of the cars aren't even there. Like, what is that about? Like, as far as I'm concerned, the tyres that you start on, you should start the race on. And if that means that you're after one lap, you're going to come in. And we saw it in Sandford a couple of years ago, I think, after one lap, you know, they came in from inters to, or they went from dries to inters or vice versa. It's just a bit of a random way of doing it. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
I think it's just the rules. I mean, we saw something similar in Budapest 2021.
Yeah.
Where everyone bar Lewis Hamilton came in to change their tyres. I mean, at that point, I was screaming for people to come in. And that goes to show why I'm not an engineer, because it turns out that the inters were the better tyre at the time. But the gamble didn't pay off for many, well, pretty much for all of them that came in, really. There was no reason whatsoever... I'm sorry, these are the 20 best drivers, supposedly, in the world. Now, it was sunshine. Like, it looked warm. It looked nice. We had an F2 race earlier. It was, you know, much worse conditions. We had an F3 race. Like, why can... F1 cars not get it round a track at a slow pace when it was practically dry? You know, even Martin Brundle was a bit like, what the hell is this all about? Mental. And I think there was a lot of really bad calls today, which I'm sure we'll go through as we go through every team. But I do feel the mark was missed a lot today by both race control and the stewards.
Yeah, I agree. Right, let's get into Alpine. So yeah, Franco Colapinto obviously DNF'd, and you know, there's real strong speculation.
He DNS'd. He didn't even start.
Yeah, okay. He didn't even start, or he didn't even finish the race, whichever you want to look at it. And there's a lot of speculation that Colapinto, this could be his final race for Alpine already. With reports linking Valtteri Bottas to come into the team for the next race in Spa in 2 weeks' time. And, you know, their main goal is actually trying to work out what is the full potential. And I think when you look at Pierre Gasly today finishing P6, Pierre Gasly is actually showing what the true potential of that car is. So having someone like Valtteri Bottas come in, gives you the better chance of actually going on, actually getting more points, especially in the constructors heading into 2026. So Colapinto has not done a good enough job since he's come in. You know, had an awful qualifying yesterday. Again, didn't even make it around one lap today. So the writing seems to be on the wall for Colapinto. And the fact that, you know, we haven't even reached a summer break and we're talking about them having their third driver is pretty embarrassing for the team.
Yeah. You know, it kind of sums up the direction they've been going in the last couple of years. Let's not forget that just a few seasons ago, Alpine were the main competitor to McLaren. Obviously, McLaren weren't quite in the same position that they are now, but it goes to show that when you have the right leadership and the right people in places, Alpine could be where McLaren are today had they made the right calls. And yeah, it's been... Look, the one saving grace they have this season is Pierre Gasly, because he, for me, has come into sort of like a world of his own. He's really established himself as a good F1 driver. Now, I never thought any less really of Pierre Gasly, but I never really had him in my sort of, yeah, he's, you know, he's a good driver. I always had him in as like a, he's a solid F1 driver. Now I look at him and I think, yeah, you're good. You really are. And Alpine are really lucky to have him. But it's pointless having one driver in your car when it's a two-car team. So, yeah, I agree with you. The writing is on the wall for Franco Colapinto. And will we see him in Spa in a couple of weeks' time? I don't know. You know, what's Jack Doohan going to be thinking in all of this? Is there a part of Alpine that think maybe we should give the seat back to him? It doesn't look like it. That's not what the rumours suggest. But
what about
yeah,
Paul,
it's a
Paul
shame
Aaron? What about Paul Aaron? He obviously did free practice one this weekend for Sauber, previously in F2 last year. You know, he's another one. I think the most logical sense at this moment in time, they brought in Jack Doohan, okay? It didn't work out. They brought in Franco Colapinto. It hasn't worked out. Your best bet now is to bring in someone with experience who can get you through the rest of the season, who can actually go on and get you points. And that is someone like Valtteri Bottas. And I think having another sort of rookie to go into that seat would be very careless of Alpine at this moment in time, especially what you've seen, what they've done to the previous ones. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense at this point. I don't think we'll see Alpine putting a rookie in that second seat. If they do choose to replace Franco Colapinto, they won't be putting a rookie in.
No. But just finishing off with Pierre Gasly, you know, Gasly, 8 points today, solid race, some great battles with Lance Stroll, obviously Max Verstappen, you know, Alonso, Lewis, George. So he held George off for a very long time today, and that, you know, he did a great job. So yeah, Alpine, you got one driver who's taking you in the right direction and one who's actually very much dragging you backwards. So we'll see what happens when it comes to Spa. Let's talk, shall we, about the RBs. Well, I'd say a race to forget for both of them. Liam Lawson didn't even make it round lap one. That collision, there wasn't really much he could do. He, you know, Ocon got squashed between Tsunoda and Lawson. And unfortunately, Ocon went into Lawson, meaning that, you know, he ended up going off and retiring from the race. So I wouldn't necessarily say that was Lawson's fault. I just don't think he'd seen him. And with Ocon getting sandwiched, there wasn't really much Lawson could do.
It was just an unfortunate racing incident. It's the sort of thing you see on lap one. You know, it's chaotic and yeah, there's nothing he could do. But a bad weekend for our four racing bulls. Definitely one to forget. You know, they're going to have Hadjar, probably a fairly hefty damage bill. And, you know, they'll have a minor one with Liam as well. So, yeah, a weekend to forget for them. But, look, it's not the end of the world for them.
They've been strong. Strong throughout the season so far. So I mean, having two DNFs in this race, it's one they'll literally just, you know, move on from pretty quick and go ahead again.
That is true, but they're definitely not going to be happy about the fact that Nico Hülkenberg got that P3, because obviously now they've jumped the Racing Bulls in they jumped a few teams this week. And you know, if the Racing Bulls were out there, maybe that wouldn't have happened today. But yeah, a weekend to forget. What can you say about it?
Where do you want to go next? Shall we go Haas? Esteban Ocon P13, Ollie Bearman P11. Obviously, they even had a coming together today as well. I think, towards the end of the race, Ollie Bearman was chasing down George Russell. I think P11, considering he started P18, yeah, it's an all right weekend. Esteban Ocon P13. It wasn't a great weekend for Haas, but they've got both cars to the end, minimal damage. It's just one of those weekends, really. And we've said many times before, Haas will have one of those weekends where they'll look good, they'll drop off, they'll look good again. They're just one of those teams, I think, this year.
And as far as I'm concerned, this is Haas on, like you say, a team that are going to be looking to pick up points every weekend. As far as I'm concerned, this is a good weekend for them. They, you know, Ollie Bearman was very close to getting points. You know, I know in the end George Russell finished about a second and a half ahead of him, but at one point he was on the cusp of overtaking him, and that's pretty impressive. They'll be happy with that. And Esteban Ocon finishing 13, P11, P13, they were close enough to points. I know there was a lot of DNFs and whatnot, but low damage build, they might have picked up a little bit of damage, you know, from their different escapades. But yeah, a good weekend, in my opinion, for Haas. Not a great weekend. That would be them picking up points, but I don't think they'll be disappointed with their Silverstone performance.
No. Let's go to Mercedes, shall we? Kimi Antonelli, DNF, George Russell, P10. It was a very, very tough weekend, and it started, really, from, you know, their first pit stop before the race started, going from Inters to, what was it, Hards, and it just wasn't the right call, was it? I mean, granted, on message, you know, when we were talking on messaging earlier, like we were saying, oh, it looks ready for slicks. Why aren't they going on slicks? But actually, the Inters seemed a better tyre for the first part of the race. And yeah, George Russell just struggled. And Kimi Antonelli also got a nice little, wasn't it Hadjar who went into the back of him? And then ultimately ruined his race towards the end. But, you know, that first pit stop, that strategy call, I understand what Mercedes were trying to do, and it actually, if it dried up very quick, it could have actually been a masterclass. And it's one of those, isn't it? And George said afterwards, it could have gone either way. Like, if you get it right, you go and you end up getting on the podium, you're fighting for the win. You get it wrong, it ruins your race. Unfortunately, they got it wrong today. And yeah, you end up P10.
And I think, look, they were unlucky with the VSC, was it, that came out very early on. And you know, let's not forget, it wasn't just Mercedes that, you know, made not a great call there. Later on in the race, George made a poor call. But then when he did come in and they stuck him on hards, you think that's a weird choice, knowing that they're the hardest tyre to fire up. They had Fernando Alonso as a reference point, and he was on mediums, and you can see it wasn't really working. You know, this is where, for me, the engineers really need to come across the radio and be like, no, look, we're looking at the data, don't do it. They even came out a lap before and said, like, yeah, but we want to be clever, not suicidal or something. And it didn't work for George. But one thing I do like about George is he is bold enough to make these calls, and sometimes they pay off, sometimes they don't. Look, that could have been an absolute masterstroke from him, making the call at that point. Okay, it didn't work out, and realistically, it probably has cost him some positions. I mean, George could have had P5 today. But is he going to cry about it? Probably not. He's not really, after this weekend, it's going to be very difficult for him in the championship battle, the world championship battle, dare I say.
Well, he's already come out and said they're not in the championship battle. But like you said, the one thing I like about George is he's bold enough to make these. And that's where some of his best results have come from, him making bold calls earlier than other teams and going for these different type of strategies. And that's where he's been so successful in certain races. So, you know, this one was not a successful one, but I, you know, like you said, it was bold. They went for something different. They had nothing to lose in that. And, you know, unfortunately, it just didn't work out today for him. But, you know, there's obviously a lot of pressure on George at the moment with all this speculation that he still hasn't signed a contract. There's talk that obviously Max Verstappen is, you know, in the wings, ready to take that Mercedes seat. And I think, isn't it this week or next week that actually it's coming up to the deadline for when Max can actually change his or opt out of his contract or something?
But I think the performance clause in his contract stipulates that he has to be outside of the top three. I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
Do you think that's why he spun at the moment?
Like, yeah, he was doing it on purpose. Yeah, and maybe that's why George Russell brought himself in for a set of hard tyres when it wasn't ready yet, because then he was like, I need to finish behind him.
Lads, it's poor visibility. I can't see anything, but I think it's ready for softs.
It's gonna be, like I said yesterday, it's gonna be crazy, but it's also at this point gonna be pretty impossible for George Russell to move ahead of Max Verstappen next race. What it's like 18 points, so essentially George has to come P2, but realistically he'd have to come P1 because Max has more victories. George has to win the race and Max has to not score any points in Spa for this speculative performance clause in Max's contract to
it's definitely
come to
doable
fruition.
Though. It's definitely doable. George won the Spa Grand Prix last year, and granted, he got disqualified, but he still won it. Can you imagine, right? And I'm only joking. This is a joke before people take this seriously. George is leading. They come over the radio. George is leading. Max, you're P2. He's thinking, right, I really want out of this team. Like, what gravel track can I take myself off for? Where can I go off? Max, you finished P11. Ah, it's a shame. I'm now P4 in the constructors, in the driver standards. By the way, lads, I'd like to actually trigger that clause, which means that I can leave. Like,
yeah, but George Russell would have done something. He would have, like, I don't know, pissed in his fuel tank or something to contaminate the fuel, so it means that it doesn't, like, pass the sample checks. And so, look, I said it on yesterday's podcast, on our podcast that we did after the Silverstone qualifying session. If Mercedes replaced George Russell with Max Verstappen, that is absolutely ludicrous, right? I'm sorry, I love Kimi Antonelli, but at this point you replace Kimi Antonelli with Max Verstappen. You don't get rid of George Russell, because George Russell and Max Verstappen, I'm sorry, that would be the strongest partnership on the grid at this point in time.
Yeah, no, I agree. Right, where should we go? Williams, Carlos Sainz P12, Alex Albon P8. I mean, I think for Albon, picking up 4 points today, he'd be relatively happy with that. Carlos Sainz, on the other hand, I think he'd be very disappointed not to pick up anything today. Look, today was one of those races where everything was just unpredictable. With the rain, the strategies, that's why I think the grid is all over the place in some sense. But, you know, look, Alex Albon, I think Williams will continue to be like this all year. They'll be very consistent at one race and not so at the other. Picking up 4 points is still positive for Alex Albon.
Yeah. Look, we've said any weekend that Williams pick up points, it's a solid weekend for them. You know, it's a shame Carlos Sainz wasn't able to get the points, but it was so tricky for the teams in that part of the field. You know, it was really difficult for the teams at the front of the field, but I feel it was even more complicated for those sort of really in the mix. So I think for them to actually come out of this still with points, they're going to be happy. Look, Williams at this point should firmly be targeting that fifth position, and there's no reason why they can't get it. And you're telling me that if you said to James Vowles and the boys at the start of the season, you're going to get fifth this season in the Constructors, they wouldn't bite your hand off. They'd be all over that. So, like I say, we know this is part of a bigger project. They've got big plans. getting fifth in the constructors this season is mega, and I see no reason why they can't do it.
Yeah, no, agree with you. Aston Martin, Fernando Alonso P9, Lance Stroll P7. At one point he was P3. This guy, I don't know how he did it, but he started on inters. He then came in. He had softs. He then went back onto winters. I mean, a solid weekend for Lance Stroll, especially after everything, you know, he's been with over the last few weeks with his operation and, you know, chucking tyres at his team and stuff like that. You know, the fact that he's come to this weekend, putting a very solid performance. Yeah, it's impressive from him.
Can I make a... I don't think this is such a bold claim, but what I don't want to do is rain on Lance Stroll's parade here because, you know, what a race for him. But I'm going to make a statement here. It's going to upset the Lance Stroll fans, but it's true. If it was Fernando Alonso in that position, he would have finished on the podium today.
No. No.
Yeah.
No.
100%. I'm sorry. That's a fact.
I just can't see it.
If Fernando Alonso is sitting in that P3 position before, you know, it's been overtaken by Hülkenberg. Hülkenberg just doesn't overtake him. It just doesn't happen. No, I don't think he gets close. No.
Hulk looked too good today. And if it wasn't Hulk who'd got past him, it would have been Lewis. Actually, what am I saying? That Ferrari wasn't overtaking anyone.
Yeah, but you still had Hulk in the way. You know, I don't think Fernando Alonso loses that position if it's him there. And look, Lance Stroll still did great. But are you telling me that the Aston Martin is worse than the Sauber? Because I think Fernando Alonso routinely makes it look stronger than the Saubers. Now, I know what you're going to say. Well, Nico Hülkenberg's got 37 points and Fernando Alonso has got 16. I think Aston Martin started the season really poorly. But I think if you put Fernando Alonso there, he's on the podium today.
So, okay, well... Counter argument to that. Well, why did he finish P9 then? Why couldn't he get past Alex Albon? Why couldn't he, you know, he finished 5 seconds behind Lance Stroll. Why wasn't he there? Why wasn't he higher than where he was?
Yeah, but there was a lot of circumstances here. Like, you know, let's be real. Hülkenberg wouldn't be on the podium if it wasn't for the chaos that ensued during the race or the weather. And that's not taking anything away from him. You need all these things to happen sometimes. But it's crazy to suggest that just because Alonso finished ninth, that actually if he was in Stroll's position originally, he wouldn't be on the podium because I think he would have held that position.
I can't see it. I can't see it. I think regardless, that Sauber was stronger than the Aston Martin today. And I think if it wasn't for... Hülkenberg being in that position, I think Lewis would have got him. I mean, I understand what you're trying to say. I just can't see it.
There's only one way to settle this. Let us know what you think at home. Comment down below.
Right, where do we go next? Should we go to Red Bull? Yuki P15. Another race weekend. Another disappointing weekend for him. Picking up no points. He had a 10-second penalty. He was one lap behind Lando Norris.
Can we talk about this 10-second penalty? Was I the only one who watched it and thought, that seems harsh? That did seem harsh. Do you not think?
I did think it was a bit harsh.
And look, I don't know what it was. I said at the start of this episode, I felt there was some bad calls this weekend. And, you know, probably the most contentious one is going to be the Oscar Piastri one that we'll speak about in a bit, but also, you know, from stuff such as sending a safety car out to do the formation lap. But for me, this 10-second penalty to Tsunoda was the worst decision of the weekend. That is just... When I saw it, I thought... I didn't even understand why it was a penalty. Maybe that's just me. Maybe I don't understand racing properly. But for me, I looked at it and I thought, seriously, that's a 10-second penalty when you consider what Max Verstappen did to George Russell. And Yuki Tsunoda got the same penalty for what he did. If there's a clip online somewhere that you can find it, go and find it. Because if you didn't see it during the race, then you obviously won't get what I'm talking about. But it was, for me, ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you're looking at any penalty, I think maximum it would be is a 5-second penalty, if that.
Yeah.
Yeah, 10 seconds was harsh for Yuki. But another race weekend, another weekend without points. And, you know, when you look at Max Verstappen putting it on pole yesterday to then, okay, granted, that car, the way it was set up was always going to be difficult with these weather conditions. It was a difficult weekend for Max, you know, and to come home in P5, especially after the spin. I know Max has said it afterwards, you know, okay, P5 isn't something we're happy with, but we'll take it. And I think they will just take that, especially how difficult it was.
I mean, look, firstly, it was nice to see, I think for all of us, that Max Verstappen is a human. Because for many years now, he's looked like a robot, and he's not. That was, you know, it was a little error. If you saw it or watched it, he got on the power a little bit too soon and lost the back end. And these things happen. I'm not saying it makes him any worse. But it was nice to see that he is human.
Yeah, it was just unfortunate, wasn't it? It was unfortunate.
P5 is a great recovery drive. Hmm. You know, that he was looking down and out for a long time. He was stuck behind the Williams. And then all of a sudden, yeah, you know, he kind of placed himself in P5 and you think, fair play, because we knew that the car was set up for, you know, it didn't have a great deal of downforce in comparison to the other cars. As soon as the wet weather came, the only person that was going to be a huge detriment to was Max. And for the best, you know, realistically, he could have got third if it wasn't for that little spin. But that spin, for a lot of drivers, would have been way more damaging than it ended up being for Max Verstappen. And P5 is fine. He's never going to be happy with that. Come on, he's a four-time world champion, but that is not bad.
No, and I think for Max Verstappen, there's not many drivers who could have done that recovery drive in those type of situations today. So, you know, for Max, yeah, P5, 10 points, you know, another dent, unfortunately, in the championship battle. But I think he's pretty much conceding that actually he's not really in a championship battle. It is the McLarens who are there. But he was still quite upbeat afterwards. And I don't know if you saw the post-race interview. He was upbeat about it. He said, look, you know, our setup. He said, when I looked last night, I was looking at the weather thinking, okay, it's looking worse. And then he woke up this morning, he was like, the weather was just a lot worse. And he was kind of like, it's going to be difficult. And it was difficult. They, you know, they took a risk and unfortunately it didn't pay off. It did for qualifying. It just didn't translate that into the race, which unfortunately is where you get the points. But, you know, either way, P5, good recovery drive.
A real concern for Red Bull is this sort of one driver thing still. You know, like you said, another bad weekend for Tsunoda. And it's just, it's not resolving itself. You know, do they take action this season and look for another driver to fill that seat? Or do they just stick it out and assume that moving into the new regs, maybe Tsunoda will pick it up or they look to replace him at the end of the season? Because I worry for Red Bull. I don't understand how it's gone so wrong for them in this era of cars when they were so dominant.
It's interesting because I actually worry for Tsunoda, because you and I are big fans of Tsunoda. When he was at the RB, we were really impressed with what he was doing. And we never really wanted him to get the Red Bull seat because we felt the second Red Bull seat was cursed. And unfortunately, it's continued that. And this is a driver who had so much confidence at the beginning of the season. And now he just looks unrecognisable. And that's really sad to see for someone who actually does have a lot of talent. But this car is just, you know, undrivable by the looks of it for the second driver.
And let's not forget that Yuki Tsunoda is the lowest point scoring Red Bull driver this season. Hmm. You know, Liam Lawson, and obviously I include Liam Lawson and Isaac Hadjar when I say Red Bull drivers. Liam Lawson has 12 points. Yuki Tsunoda has 10. And he's had pretty much most of the season in the Red Bull. So it's really going wrong. And yeah, you are right. We did not want him to go there. And this is why.
Yeah, it's worrying times for Yuki and also bigger worrying times for Red Bull. Before we get... Look, we've spoken about Ferrari. I don't think we need to touch on Ferrari. I had my little rant at the beginning. Do you want to talk about any more about Ferrari? Because...
No. One thing I will say... is I just want to talk about Charles Leclerc's little dive bombs down the inside of turn, whatever it is, four. Pretty sure it's four. Loved them. I know Carlos Sainz wasn't too impressed. I'm sure Alex Albon wasn't overly impressed. But to me, that's what racing is all about. And I thought they were lovely overtakes.
And what even about Lewis Hamilton's double overtake in what into turn yeah. three? Phenomenal. It was great. But yeah, no, Ferrari, I don't really know what we can say anymore about that. I've had my rant at the beginning. I know some of you might agree, some of you might disagree. But and I know it probably just looks the fact that actually Lewis just, you know, didn't get a podium, and that's not necessarily what it's about. I was gutted for that, but it's more the fact that actually this is a Ferrari team who have two absolutely phenomenal drivers and they should be up there. You know, losing a podium today to a Sauber is, in my world, inexcusable, because this is a Ferrari team. You know, Nico Hülkenberg started P19 today. Like, granted, you know, the weather and all of that stuff played a massive part, but still, that Ferrari should have been on that podium.
Yeah, look, I ordinarily I would be really disappointed about Lewis not getting this podium, but I can't help but just be happy for Nico Hülkenberg, and I guess Sauber is our next destination. But
before you get me wrong, I am delighted for Nico. Okay, you know, Luke and I have had big praise for Nico on this podcast, and we've been pushing him that he deserves a top team seat, even as a second driver, even that Red Bull. So, you know, for Nico, I am utterly, it's phenomenal to actually get him on the podium after so long is brilliant. And it's interesting. I saw a tweet after going, look, everyone's praising Nico Hülkenberg for getting his first podium in F1. But actually, should we be actually saying, well, hang on, why is it taking you so long? Like, what type of driver are you if you haven't done? Yeah. And I don't know if you saw the same tweet. It made me laugh because I was kind of like, it's circumstantial. I mean, he's had some bad luck. I mean, his highest place, I think, before this was P4. So, look, regardless of how long it's taken him, I think it's utterly brilliant. And you saw how much it meant to Sauber. You saw how much it meant to Nico. It's great for F1.
That is also such a cynical take, isn't it? I mean, that is the world we live in, where everyone will always look at a reason to put you down. And... how long have we been saying now that Nico Hülkenberg deserves to be at a top team? And do you know what? I'm glad that he's kind of spearheading this Audi project. I really hope that they provide him with a car next season that allows him to be part of these conversations of, you know, do I think Nico Hülkenberg is ever going to be a world champion? Unlikely. Do I think if he had the right car, and it was the right set of circumstances, that he could win a world championship? Yeah, absolutely. Look, we've seen, in my opinion, I know people don't like this, like, Jenson Button is one of those people that, on paper, you wouldn't say he is a world champion. Okay, and to me, that is not controversial at all. But he was put in the right car, in the right set of circumstances, and he absolutely delivered. Now, Jenson Button is a very good F1 driver. He's not up there in the conversations with the greats. You don't have to be a world champion. I think Nico Hülkenberg falls into that category where I think if you give him the right car, people will start looking at him very differently. And I think if I was Red Bull, I would be looking at Nico Hülkenberg and thinking, I wonder if I can tempt him to actually leave this project before it's really even begun and come and sit in our second seat for 2026, because for me, he is the best option out there if they're not gonna want to put a Charles Leclerc, a Lewis Hamilton, a George Russell next to Max Verstappen. For me, Nico Hülkenberg is the best man to go and do it.
Okay, and answer me this hypothetical question, okay? So Nico Hülkenberg gets an offer from Red Bull. Say, look, Nico, we want you to come and be our second driver at Red Bull. Nico is, obviously, he signed for Sauber because of the project for Audi for 2026. What does he do here? Because do you stay with Sauber? Because you're going in the right direction there. You're spearheading that. You know Audi are coming in, a big car giant there. Real challenges to actually, you know, progress nicely there. Or do you actually go and take that risk and go, do you know what, this may be my only chance to ever get a chance at a top team and go to Red Bull?
I don't see how you turn down Red Bull to remain a project team. Now look, staying at Kick Sauber, who are going to be Audi from next year, might be the best career move ever. We don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. But you're never, ever going to say no to Red Bull to stay there. So I think it puts him in an incredibly difficult situation because he's obviously signed up to be part of this big project. And obviously, he's German. Audi are a big German brand. So there's all of that link as well. But come on. Come on. If, you know, do you say no if Mercedes come calling? Do you say no if McLaren come calling? Do you say no if, okay, Ferrari, obviously, probably a little category above those.
Everyone would say no. You've seen Lewis Hamilton go, look, lads, Haas have called. They want you as well. I'm going to Haas, all right? Like, yeah. You know. Yeah, I agree. You know, Hülkenberg, if he gets that opportunity, you can't turn down a team like Red Bull. And I think what was really nice today is to see how much it meant to this team. You look at back when Sauber came in last year with Bottas and Joel, and, you know, they started the season off with, what, like 1 minute 30 pit stops, and the progression that they've made now. And to come in with two great drivers this year in Bortoleto, granted he didn't finish today, and I think that's his first race he actually hasn't finished so far. It may be one or other.
I think so this season.
Yeah. But, you know, to see Bortoleto and, you know, Hülkenberg come in, and we said after he left Haas last year, it's such a brilliant signing for Sauber. And then to see the likes of Jonathan Wheatley come in and Binotto there spearheading this project and moving forward, and to come away with a P3 in a track like Silverstone is just brilliant. And you saw the celebrations after. This is a real team now who are going in the right direction. And it's exciting times. And I'm delighted for Hülkenberg. I really am. And he deserves it. He's waited a long time for it. So to see him get it, and you saw how much it meant, and the fans were also behind him, it was brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, there's obviously, everyone was chanting his name. And it didn't look like Lando Norris's dad was too pleased about that.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be perfectly honest with you, that was quite awkward to watch, because I was sitting there and I was actually cringing. I was thinking to myself, I was like, mate, just let Nico have this. Your son's won the Grand Prix, okay? He's won. And he's just shouting out, going, Lando, Lando. And I'm thinking to myself, like, come on now. Yeah, like, let Nico have this, all right? He's waited a long time.
Give it a rest.
Yeah. But no, let us know what your thoughts are on Hülkenberg. Obviously, Bortoleto DNF'd, but, you know, again, phenomenal weekend for Sauber. Let's finish off on McLaren, because, look, Lando Norris, absolutely delighted for Lando Norris to win his home Grand Prix. I think it's great for him in the title battle. But I can't help feel a bit gutted for Oscar Piastri. And Oscar Piastri was pretty comfortable in that race up until the safety car. I think he was like 13 seconds ahead. Safety car happens. And look, he made a mistake. He did heavy braking there. And that's unfortunately what led to the 10-second penalty. but I can't help feel that the 10-second penalty is maybe a bit too harsh. I can understand maybe a 5-second, but a 10-second seems, especially what we've seen penalties given for over the last like year or so, 10 seconds just seemed a bit too harsh. And I don't know what your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I look, the argument was from Zach Brown was that it didn't look anywhere near as bad on the telemetry as it did in real life. Now, there's no denying that it did look bad in real life. I mean, I saw it and I thought, oh, that is probably going to get him in trouble. But I did think the penalty was harsh, and it's a shame because, look, this was Oscar's race. It doesn't matter how you look at it. This was his race to win, okay? And
what did you say in the message? You were like, oh, Piastri's had his Weetabix today, because he was just chasing down Max from the beginning.
Yeah.
He was rapid.
He looked absolutely on fire. I mean, you know, Lando didn't really have any answers to him. Lando also looked supremely fast, by the way. That I'm not saying otherwise, but to me, Oscar had this race under control, and it's frustrating for him. Sadly, the rules are the rules, and would you consider it erratic driving? I feel like Oscar Piastri would say no. I would say, based on what I saw with my eyes on the TV, which is completely different from, you know, what the data says and everything, and even what Oscar Piastri intended or the situation that actually occurred, to me, it looked a bit too heavy. But do I think a 10-second penalty is fair? Not really, but I'm sure there's a reason it was a 10-second penalty. And we've spoken about rules before, about how you have to apply them rigidly, because if you start moving into subjectivity, it becomes very awkward and complicated. And if the rules objectively said that what he had done had, you know, stipulated a 10-second penalty, then it's not fair to give it anything less. The question is, did he do what it was being said he had done?
Yeah,
because he seems to think no.
He was pretty livid after the race, and it may be a bit different now that he's actually seen the telemetry and he's actually gone, actually, okay, fair point. But it's the first time we've actually seen Oscar Piastri get quite heated afterwards. He didn't really want to do the post-race interview. He was very much like, if I speak, I'll just get in trouble, so I'll be quiet about it. But, you know, Oscar Piastri came over the radio and said, look, you agree with me that you don't think that was a penalty. Are we going to swap positions? And I want to hear from you guys at home on this, because, look, however much I feel like Oscar Piastri was in control of that race, I think it would have been very harsh on Lando to give that place back, if that makes sense, because it is something actually Oscar Piastri has made the mistake, and whether, you know, the team think it's harsh or not, he still got a penalty. So the stewards made a decision that he got the penalty. I think actually giving that place, doing team orders and giving that place back, would have been extremely harsh on Lando.
Yeah, ultimately, it's not Lando's fault that he's been given this penalty. And in no other circumstance, I get Oscar Piastri right. I don't think he's wrong for asking, because he was obviously just pushing his luck. In any other circumstance, a driver doesn't ask for that position. These two boys are in a world championship fight. So I think you can't kind of say it to either of them. Lando should not be expected to give up that position on the basis that Oscar got an unfair penalty. That had nothing to do with him. And, you know, Oscar doesn't have the right to go ahead of him just because he has been given an unfair penalty. So, yeah, I feel it was a little bit underwhelming how Lando Norris wins his first race at his home Grand Prix, because, you know, you compare it to last season, Lewis Hamilton winning that race the way he won it. And by the way, this is not taking anything away from Lando. I'm saying it's a bit of a shame, because I'm sure it doesn't feel any worse for him. But how good would it have been if he had overtaken Piastri on track to come and win that race? Because, yeah, it does seem like a harsh penalty, but ultimately Lando stayed very close to him. He still looked very quick. Maybe if he was the driver that happened to be in front anyway, if he had a better qualifying, you know, he would have been the man out in front. But look, Lando's got 25 points. The title battle is well and truly on. It's less than 10 points between them. And I think heading into Spa, it's, you know, realistically, those McLarens are head and shoulders above anyone at this point. I think we're on for a title battle, and we said all we want. We don't care if there's a dominant team, really. In an ideal world, we have 3, 4, 5, 10 teams going for the victory every week, right? But we don't get that. If we're going to just have one, at least have two title protagonists. And that is exactly what we're getting. So I am loving this season. And I'm loving the fact that McLaren are less wishy-washy with this papaya rules bullshit. They're just kind of letting them race.
Well, I think they know that the constructors is already in the bag, so you know they can't.
Yeah.
It would look very stupid of them to go, actually, we're going to do team orders every week, considering they're like what 200 points clear at the, you know, in the constructors. So, it's 8 points difference in the championship, and I think we've got a great season on our hands. Oscar Piastri, I still feel, is in a very good position. He's obviously leading, but I wouldn't be too worried from what I saw from Oscar today. I think from what we've seen, he's still in a very good position and he's still got what he needs to go on and win a title. But for Lando Norris, you know, winning in Austria, winning today is really positive for him. And, you know, it'll give him a lot of confidence, especially winning in front of, you know, his, what, Lando stand and all of that stuff. It was a really positive weekend for him. So, he'll be delighted.
Why did he not call it Stando Norris, by the way?
That would have actually been quite good. I quite like that.
Yeah. Lando, you can have that. I will give that as a present for winning your first home Grand Prix at Silverstone. Next year, I grant you permission to use the name Stando Norris for your stand. That's a sick name.
There you go. Just finishing off, driver of the day.
Is there any other driver other than Nico Hülkenberg? Look, I think Lewis Hamilton had a good day. I know you're severely disappointed that he didn't get that P3. I think he had a good day. I think both the McLarens had a good day. But ultimately, Nico Hülkenberg went from P19 to P3. He is undeniably the driver of the day. And yeah, I hope he has a very heavy night in wherever it is he'll be going out. Or maybe he'll be celebrating with his family. He's one of the more mature drivers. I'm sure Lando will invite him to whatever club he's going to.
Exactly. No, delighted. I agree. Nico Hülkenberg, driver of the day. But so honourable mentions, Pierre Gasly, you know, P6, did great today. Lance Stroll, a P7. Regardless of what anyone else did, it was only going to go to one guy, and it was Nico Hülkenberg. So yeah, congratulations to him. So that is the end of the podcast. Hope you have enjoyed it. Sorry for my rant at the beginning about, you know, Ferrari, but if you are a Ferrari fan, I'm hoping you actually feel exactly the same as me. We'll be back next week for a brand new podcast. There is no race next week. It's 2 weeks until Spa. Do check us out on social media. We post daily. Get in touch, get involved, and we've got a few exciting things happening hopefully over the next few weeks. We might even have some guests on. That's still in the work, still in the planning, but we know you guys want guests on here, so we're looking at that, we're exploring that. So yeah, have a great week. If you're a Lando fan, enjoy it. If you're a Ferrari fan, yep. And we shall see you next week for a brand new episode. Bye bye.